It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5, an APCO Holding Brand podcast, powered by Passion, with your host, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I'm being joined by Arnold Gasita, President of Petra Automotive Products. Arnold, welcome to Fixed Ops 5.
Thank you, Corey, for having me. I'm excited about being here.
I'm really excited about talking to you. I've seen you in the news quite a bit, and obviously I've known you throughout your career. I've been able to follow it. So I'm really excited to have you on this podcast. But before we really get into this podcast, which is going to be titled When Profits Creates Goodwill, can you tell us a little bit about you and what got you to this point in your life?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I 33 years ago, I never imagined I would be in the automotive industry. I started my career in this industry 32 years ago. I was actually working for a freight company that transferred electronic documents and checks between banks nationwide. And I happened to come across a WINS distributor who liked what we did and what my team did. And he chased me for about a year until I finally said, okay, I'll do it. And I came on board. He was a WINS distributor. And I came on board, and within 7 years, we made him the number one distributor in the United States, not only in volume, but in penetration. From there, I moved on to WINS Corporate, and through a series of titles and positions, I became, you know, a business development manager, national sales manager, national account sales manager, marketing, sales and marketing manager, VP, business unit manager. I was one of a few executives that sold WINS to a company called Illinois Toolworks. And then from there, I decided that it was time to leave and do my own thing. So I've been involved in the automotive industry for 32 years. I know the automotive industry from the ground up, not only as a manufacturer making products to distributors who will sell to the professional installer, like dealers, quick loops, repair shops. But I also know the other side of it, which is a distributor, what a distributor has to endure and how successful distributors look, which I think is what gives us a lot of the success that Petra has had, as we know both worlds. We know the manufacturer world, the distributor side. So we know that we have to do certain things for our distributors to be healthy, vibrant, and good at what they do. And so we're very careful to make sure that we develop an atmosphere where our distributors can succeed and be profitable to continue to grow and penetrate their markets.
Wow, that's great. I love your history. So Arnold, you and your company have been doing some amazing things, not only in business, right, but also with changing lives. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, I guess two different things, right? So the business and the changing lives, but they go together. But, you know, in business, we've developed a culture. We have an incredible, great team that's going out there. And not only are we growing the market by growing in distributors, more distributors that sell Petra, but we're actually doing more relationships with OEs. We manufacture for 5 OEs today. We're in 38 countries. We're in about 4,200 dealerships nationwide. We have about 360 products. So we've just developed an incredible, incredible team that knows this business and helps us succeed every day. Those successes have led us, you know, in my faith in God, has led us to open a charity called Petra Cares. Now, Petra Cares did not come about like it is today. I have been involved with a charity out of New Orleans called Giving Hope. I'm still involved with them today. Great, phenomenal charity. They build an orphanage somewhere around the world every year, feed about 1,000 people a day in New Orleans, and they have a food pantry. So my relationship with them is very good, very good. And I said, you know, let's copy that. So I put this board together of a bunch of rock stars here in Houston. And I said, look, I want to copy that. I want to build an orphanage somewhere around the world. I want to feed the hungry, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we started down that path. And then we invited a judge, a family judge, to speak to the board. And so this judge from the county we live in comes, Judge Andell, character. Hopefully you'll meet him one day because he's a character. He'd be great guy on a podcast. And he comes to our board meeting and slaps us around and says, look, if you guys really want to make an impact, if you really want to change lives, and if you really want to change generations to come, here's the problem. It's not sexy. It's not pretty. And nobody talks about it. It's going unnoticed. It's a big problem. We didn't even know that. And it was foster kids exiting the foster care program. So we always thought, I mean, in my mind, I always thought foster cares is kids that for whatever reason have been taken away from their parents or their parents passed away. So here's this couple that took them into their house until they get adopted. And then eventually, hopefully they get adopted. What we found out is that most kids that reach the age of 12 in the foster care system will not get adopted. The average will move homes every 2 years. Wow. Between the age of 17 and 19, they will either quit school, graduate, or get a GED. When that age comes, 17 and 19, that they're going to quit school, graduate, or get a GED, once they do one of those three things or get to that age point, the state will come in and say, okay, look, you're an adult now. If you want to go to a university, and if you qualify, we will pay for it. 90% of these kids will say, no, I do not want to go. I do not want to be part of the system. I want you to leave me alone. I want to be my own man, my own woman. And so 90% of these kids that are exiting the foster care program immediately become homeless. 80% of those within 3 years will be dead, in jail, dead in jail or homeless.
Wow.
80%. So 90% don't go to university, and 80% of those will be dead in jail or homeless. And the life expectancies of those kids is 23 years. So when Judge Andel comes and gives us these statistics and tells us what's going on in the problem, I tell everybody, this is not a charity that Arnold made or decided. This is definitely a God charity, because we did a 180 on what I thought I wanted to do. And we changed course, and everybody on the board unanimously said, man, we got to do something. At the same time, so here's a judge, and here's a problem that's happening in our nation with foster kids exiting the foster care program. At the same time, in my industry, in the automotive industry, every dealership you go to tells you they need mechanics. They don't have enough mechanics. There's a shortage of 51,000 mechanics in the United States today.
Right, right.
So we start putting, you know, our thoughts together here and say, okay, what if we take these kids that are exiting the foster care program, that are parentless, they think they have no purpose, they think they have no hope, disadvantaged youth, and we bring them to Petra, to our training facility, and we train them on how to be a mechanic, totally free, and then our dealers hire them. So these kids can actually leave here with a job. So it's not just a training course and, hey, here's a training course. It's free. It's charity. Good luck. And once you graduate, you know, who knows what's going to happen to you? No. Take the kid, love on them, mentor them, be there for them, get them through the 7-week course, and then hand them off to somebody that's going to offer them a job and also mentor them and take them. And so we were able to do that within our industry. Our dealers, our customers, they all came and said, listen, we will hire them, and we will hire them now. Tell us when they're ready. and not just, you know, we wanted to make sure that we kept this separate from Petra. Listen, we have people on our advisory board that don't use Petra. We have people that are hiring these kids that are not Petra customers, right? Because at the end of the day, it's not about Petra, it's about these kids. So we want to make sure that we put these kids somewhere, that they get educated and they go work for somebody. It does not matter if it's Petra. We want to help and bless these kids. So we turned this whole thing around. We got together with the Lone Star College. We put together a plan, hired a professor. The professor actually works for Lone Star College, but paid by Petra Cares. And our facility, our training facility, which we use to train dealers and distributors, has become a satellite place for Lone Star College. And now the kids come here and they learn. And I mean, they're right now, you know, with a car on the lift and a professor, and they're learning how to be level one mechanics. And hopefully, Lord willing, after the 7 weeks, we have a list of dealers that are willing to come in, interview everybody, and offer them a job. So I told the kids when the class started on Monday, give me 7 weeks, and with God's help, I'm going to change your life, and I'm going to change the life of generations to come.
That's awesome. So, I mean,
a little long-winded, but that was it.
No. I love it. It's perfect, right? But if you take all that in and process that for a second, you're changing lives, first of all, because of the numbers that are staggering. And I had no idea the number was that high. I had no idea that all this was happening. So thank you for sharing that. So the person comes in, they take this class, whether they're a Petra, customer or not, they hire them, they excel, they love it. And that makes obviously the humanity of everything that much better, right? You've changed that person's, not only that person's life, but generations to come.
These kids, it's hard to understand. I think people that have had parents that didn't go to jail or passed away are not going to obviously understand this. It took me a while to understand as I get to know the kids and visit with the kids. These are kids that have gone through a lot. I mean, I want to say the word hell. They have gone through hell. Some of them are kids that haven't seen their parents in forever. Some are kids that have lost their parents. Some are kids that have parents in jail. And they have been handed to people left and right, right and left. Nobody's told them you're worth something. Nobody's told them, hey, I love you. Nobody's told them that was a great job, or hey, you really shouldn't do that. Let me tell you why you don't do that. When you have these choices, this is why you want to pick this way instead of this way. These are just human beings that have kind of been thrown in this realm, and they're roaming around with no direction, no guidance, no discipline, no love, no help. I personally drove one of the kids home the other day. And on the drive, he kept saying, I'm sorry that I talked too much. And like he'd say three words, I'm sorry I talked too much. And I know I'm sorry I talked too much. And, you know, I shouldn't say that. I'm trying to do better. And I think I did good. And, I would say, well, how was your first day? You know, it was good. I want to make it, but I don't know if I, you know. And he's beating himself down every three words. Wow. And I realize how through this guy's life, he was beat down and nobody ever lifted him up, you know? So, I'm always telling him, hey, you're doing great. You're doing good. Yesterday I said, how's it going? He goes, I think good. I said, think good. It's going good. You know, and he started laughing, right? It's little things that we take for granted that nobody has ever told these kids. Listen, Corey, you probably tell your kids you love them every single day, if not once, twice, five times, six times. I know my kids, you know, especially my daughter, she gets tired of it probably because I'm always texting her how I love her. These kids don't have that. And we take that for granted. Nobody has hugged them, held them, loved them. And so there is, you know, the job that we're going to give them is great, but there's a whole psychological part of taking a God created person with a purpose that just didn't realize they were maybe God created and had a purpose, and giving them some love and giving them some direction and seeing their lights light up. Look, the class has been only going on for 5 days. From Monday to today, I can tell you 100% their face has changed. Their looks have changed. Their eyes have opened up in just 1 week of 20 people loving on them and educating them. They've changed. And I can only imagine how it's going to look 7 weeks from now.
Right. So they go through this training class and they graduate and you love on them and stuff like that. But what if you have a person that really isn't into automotive, right?
Yeah. So this
programs,
we do not have other programs today, but our plan is that next year we will. So what, again, we were reacting to the problem, the foster care problem today. And then also reacting to the fact that in our industry, in the industry that we know, there was a need for mechanics. And we just thought we could marry these two in a very, very good way. What we've learned through this process is not everybody wants to work with their hands, right? Not everybody wants to get dirty. Not everybody wants to be a mechanic. So this program has grown and blown up in such an incredible way that both us with Lone Star College are already working on ideas for next year. And so there's a church across the street from us called the Met Church. They've opened up their community center completely free to us to do more classes there. They back up to our back property. It takes a fence down, put a door where they can have a walkway between us and the church or the community center. And we're going to expand this to dental assistant, medical assistant, even some culinary classes. So we'll probably add one more next year. So next year we'll probably have technician and let's say medical assistant. And then towards the end of the year, we'll add another one. And then by 2 or 3 years from now, we'll have culinary. And then eventually we'll just have a bunch of different 7-week crash courses in all types of industries. We've looked at service advisor and flight attendant. It's another one that we've looked at, where we can just for 7 weeks take people in and get them a job. The main thing is get them in and get them a job, right? And so, yes, we are. Today it's just technicians, but we do believe that within the next 12 months, that's going to expand to at least one or two more different occupations.
That's incredible. So I love all of this, right? And everyone out there listening is going to be like, wow, Arnold for president, right? such a great thought leader you are, and to be a part of, you know, somebody bringing this to your attention and you and your team just and really running with it. I love that. I love the news articles that have been, in your area out of Houston. You know, I love the fact that I think I was reading one article where they get a stipend per week just
That's
to
correct.
Come to this class, right?
That's
so
correct.
Now you're taking somebody that has no real goals, no job, no money, to I'm going to teach you a trade and you're going to get paid every week for it. I mean, that's.
Yeah. You know, what we learned is that some of these, so when they exit the foster care program, there are many great organizations that house these kids. So there are these organizations that will actually come in and take the kids because they're homeless, right? So immediately they're homeless. They have no place to go, no family, no nothing. So these kids come in, I mean, these organizations come in and they pick up the kids and they house them. When they house them, there's certain criteria they have to meet, right? So they have to meet, drug test every week. You have to be looking for a job or be enrolled in school. And then they charge them a small rent just to try to make them, give them the discipline of being responsible.
Right.
So in order to come to a school like ours, you know, they're going to need to be able to pay that rent. And so we decided to give them a program where they get $150. So the students that come in, not only is everything taken care of, like transportation is taken care of, child care is taken care of, the schooling is taken care of, tuition, everything, they pay zero. And in addition to all of that, we give them $150 a week for coming to class.
You're giving them a career path, excuse me, for bettering themselves, and you're also feeding the industry of things that we're short on. So you're almost taking care of a couple issues right there. I love all of this, Arnold, and I really appreciate what you're doing for this industry and what you've done for this industry thus far. I mean, being based out of Houston, really big market, the things you've learned in your career, going from where you started to where you are currently right now, and then leveraging where you are right now to helping others is 100% commendable. And I'm just in awe to share this moment with you during this podcast to really bring this to everyone else's attention. How can we help you with this mission?
Well, look, obviously donation is the biggest thing. The more funds that the foundation has, the more kids we can teach, the more kids we can get off the streets, the more kids we can get them into a job, and the faster we can grow the different programs, the dental assistant, medical assistant, et cetera. So today, those that are listening, the best thing that you can do is go to Petra, Petra-Cares.org. Petra-Cares.org. And as soon as that page comes up, you'll see a button that says donate, and then donate to the organization. And, you know, again, the more funds we have, the faster we grow and the more kids we can touch.
I'm doing that today. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. So let's get into some business, right?
Sure.
let's talk about our industry for a second. And we got about 10 minutes that I really want to dive into that. So the technician shortage is real, is huge around the country. You know, why do you think it's so bad right now? Is it because we're really paying attention to it more? Or are we just reading so many stats that these older technicians are leaving the industry and going to be HVAC techs or going into another industry or just flat out retiring?
Well, I think what I hear the most of is that they're retiring, right? So what the problem is that for years, decades, we in America have been pushing the four-year university path, right? You graduate from high school and you have to go to a university. Even if you don't want to go, even if your desire is not to study business administration, you know, even if you want to go be, if you want to be, you know, a AC repairman, oh no, you got to go to a four-year college degree because that's what the schools pushed, the cities pushed, the nations pushed, the Fed. It's pushed. We all were pushing the four-year program where our the greatest generation, you know, back 50 years ago, it was a lot of technical stuff, right? You had the baker, you had the air conditioning guy, you had the technician, the automotive repair guy. You have all these technical things, plumbers, right? You know. We went away from that and just started focusing on a four-year career. And what's happened, fast forward, is we've lost some of these trades that we need to survive, right? So whether your car is combustible engine or whether it's EV, they're both going to break at some point, and somebody's got to fix this car. It's not going to fix itself, right? We haven't invented the AI yet that can go out there and fix the car by itself yet.
Right.
But, you know, a plumbing problem or an AC problem, we still have these trades that are very important. I do think today the education system has changed a little bit. I do hear some high schools beginning to think about trade schools. I hear parents talk about it now, right? I hear parents say, look, go a year to college instead of university, get your thoughts together, you know, and then let's see what you want to do. And now everybody's kind of like massaging this, right? Because, you know, all these kids are coming out sometimes with a big debt, an attorney out of college, 7 years, and God knows how much debt, they're making around $56,000 a year out of college. Well, you know, you can make that as a technician,
right?
So it's dirtier. Right. It's not as elaborate as an attorney, but it's needed. And so I think the perfect storm has happened. I think the older generation, the mechanics, the plumbers, the AC technicians, that made a great life in those trades are retiring. And I think COVID accelerated some of that retirement. All right. So some of those guys just said, you know what, I'm 5 years away. I'm gonna call it quits and do something while I can retire. And they're getting tired of, you know, they've been working for 30, 40 years, if not longer. And so these guys are exiting. 2020 pushed them out. We for decades didn't focus on trade schools. And now all of a sudden we don't have mechanics. Right. And so there is this. Oh, and schools, you remember high schools? When I was in high school, I'm older than you, but when I was in high school, you had home ed, you had auto mechanic, you had welding, woodwork. I mean, in high school, they were teaching you all these different things, right? You can take home ed, you can take, you know, auto mechanics. You were actually getting some of this stuff in high school. High schools took it all away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I heard of one school now here in Houston that's bringing back the auto mechanic. But we now all of a sudden, because I remember Judge Andel talking about him. He says our country is always a country that reacts, doesn't necessarily think ahead. Right. We react well. You know, somebody invades somewhere. We're going to go. We're going to end this. But we don't think ahead to prevent. right? And I thought when he was talking to me at lunch, I thought, man, that's a very good thing, right? So we're reacting now. So now we go, oh my God, we're out of mechanics, we're out of AC technicians, we're out of plumbers, we're out of all this stuff. We got to go out there and do something. And so we're beginning to see more programs like this evaluate. So look, and it's real. Technicians are needed. 51,000 shortage nationwide. I do not know if there is a quick fix to this.
Well, there definitely isn't a quick fix to it because it's been a decade in the making.
That's right. So I think it's going to have to be more programs like what we're doing that takes kids that aren't going to go to university but like working with their hands and like cars, to get them through a crash course and get them into the dealership. And then the dealership has to love on them and mentor them and get them into the Ford school or the, you know, Toyota school or the GM school and help this kid grow and become that master technician that they need. So I think we all know how we got here. I don't know. I think we all know that there's not a quick solution to it, but we need more programs like ours. That's why our program, another thing that we talked about, PetraCares, you know, we have people right now in Los Angeles, Hawaii, Arkansas that want to launch a PetraCares program in their state. Wow. That's another thing that we want to do next year is probably start expanding this to other states because the growth has just been phenomenal.
Arnold, you've totally blown my mind, and I'm not going to ask any more questions because I want you to come back and do another episode where we can dive into fluid maintenance and why do we do it and how do we talk about it. You know, I love all of this, and we're right up against the time. And my last question that I will ask, and I ask this to every guest, what are three takeaways from this episode in your mind that someone from the dealership level that is listening can really take away from this episode?
You know, that we got to think outside of us. That would be the first takeaway that somebody should take. You know, we tend to sometimes, you know, these are type A personalities with a little bit of an ego, if not a big ego. And we tend to be me, and you know, looking here. But when we do that, we lose focus and we don't realize that there are kids out there like these foster kids that are hurting, that have no direction. And when we do that, we also lose track that, hey, my mechanics are going to retire one day and what am I going to do? Right? So some of the takeaways is, number one, stop looking at yourself so much. And start looking outside of yourself. What's happening in the world? And even the world that may be, you know, outside of your bubble and comfort level of things that are going on to kids that you don't even realize. And I was shocked when I see 17, 18-year-old kids, young adults that are homeless. The second thing I would take out of this is, how do you mentor people, right? I've had great mentors throughout my life in many ways. You know, how do you bring a kid in and mentor them, right? Because you can even, as a dealership, without going necessarily through a program like ours, ours gives you that head start of that boost. But if you take a kid in, just one, if every dealership in America took one kid in, put them under the master technician and said, mentor this guy, right? Imagine how much change you would have, not only in your own dealership, but generations to come, what we're gonna do. If every dealership did one, right? Just grab a kid that has no purpose, loss of directions, doesn't know what's going on, and you bring them in and you give them some love and you show them. So don't look inside, look at the world out there. Second, figure out how you can help somebody. And third, a lot of that we didn't talk about, but I'm gonna throw it in here, is stay retention bonus. So a lot of times I've heard dealers today, people that are a little bit older, that are about to retire, they're throwing bonuses for them to stay a year or two more. So sometimes when we want to hire somebody that we really like, we'll throw that bonus, that hiring bonus. Now we need to maybe throw a stay bonus.
I like that.
To get us that bridge till we get this new generation coming in to be mechanics.
All right. Well, Arnold, thank you for sharing those three takeaways. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps a customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their family, their friends into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealerships? We provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email, csmith@apcoholdings.com. Arnold, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being on this episode. And I'm going to demand that you come back. I'm not going to even ask you, will you come back? You need to come back. We need to do another episode.
I will be back, and I appreciate you having me on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith. Powered by Pasha, be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes released on the 5th and 20th of every month.